Today we are in the second of a three-week homily series. We've titled it Safe and Secure. Last week, Bartimaeus took off his coat, his sign of safety and security, and then he walked in faith. He was blind, but he walked in faith toward our Lord. We're going to go a little deeper in that walk of faith, but let's go back to the couple and their children who have been talking about safety and security. Let's take a look.
Certainly my husband makes me feel safe. My parents have always made me feel safe.
My wife, Megan, probably makes me feel the safest. It's nice to come home to a smiling face and have my family be there. My parents, my friends also make me feel safe.
I think definitely Ryan makes me feel safe. Just kind of taking the role on some things and just really providing that blanket of safety around our family.
Yeah, Janelle definitely brings a feeling of safety to me and the family with everything she does, you know, during the day when I'm at work, you know, for 8-9 hours a day, knowing that our kids are in her hands and that, you know, she can take care of them and get them to where they need to go and that they're, you know, with somebody I trust.
Josh, who makes you feel safe?
My mom and dad.
All my mom and dad.
Grandma and grandpa.
Mama.
Mom, dad.
My mom and my dad.
Nobody's there for go to school, and sometimes I have activities.
Me and Jack go to the same school. With puppers. Well, sometimes.
Are you always with mom?
No.
Or are you with mom and dad all the time?
No.
Probably not.
Okay.
So I'll be traveling to every state.
You'll be traveling so much as an NHL hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Do you think you might still be living with mom and dad when you're working at Target?
Nope.
Okay, do you think you'll still live with mom and dad?
No. Maybe.
Do you think you'll still live with mom and dad?
Yeah.
Yeah? You will when you're a hard worker?
Yeah.
Do you think you'll still be living with mom and dad?
Yeah.
Yeah? You're gonna live with them your whole life?
Yeah.
Okay, that's excellent.
And then you're eventually gonna die.
There are times in our life when we stand on the threshold of mystery. That little boy at the end of the video, in the wisdom that God gives a child, spoke about the threshold of mystery. He kind of whispered it to his little brother, and I hope you picked it up. If not, we'll have it on our website probably tomorrow morning. Listen again. Are you going to live with mom and dad? The older brother whispers to the younger brother, they're going to die someday. Wow, what a profound thought. That's living on the threshold of mystery. And when we're there, those things we naturally rely on for safety and security, they may fail us. They may let us down because they weren't created to provide the security and safety we are seeking. When life's uncertainties visit us, we oftentimes stand on the threshold of mystery. When others experience life's uncertainties, a loss of some kind, that ultimate loss being death, we stand on the threshold of mystery. It can be a public figure like Flip Saunders this week. His death and the public reporting of it, because he was a public leader, led our state right on the threshold of that mystery. It can be a friend. It can be a family member. It can be you or me personally. And when we are there, questions of mystery naturally surface. The question with no answer oftentimes is the question why. Why me? Why them? Why this? Why oftentimes has no answer. And when those things we rely on for safety and security can't provide what we need, the next question of mystery that naturally surfaces is this: is there anything else? Or is there anyone else I can turn to? Where else might my safety and security be? To that question, friends, we are given good news this day. We are given good news. John gives us a vision of heaven. I, John, he said, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old order had passed away, but something new began. John will say, I saw a great multitude of people. Too many to count. All of them marked with the seal of life. We have a whole heavenly family, friends, marked with the seal of life. But you have been marked with that seal also. I have been marked with that seal. It came as a result of a divine encounter, God coming down into your life and mine. For most of us, we were infants. For most of us, it was our parents carrying us to a font like this. We felt water, but we also experienced love, where God came and said, I choose you. I am yours, you are mine. And because an infant knows nothing other than love, how to receive love and how to give love, an infant naturally responds in the secret recesses of the heart. And so as infants, we reply, God, yeah, you are mine, and I'll be yours. And a divine encounter happened, and a divine exchange happened, and we began living eternally. You are living eternal life right now. That's the good news. John goes farther. See what love the Father has bestowed on us. Not only has he given us life eternal, but he calls us his children. That's what we are right now. And what we will later be hasn't come to light. But when it does, we will see our God as he is. We will see him face to face. There's the good news of the day. I invite you to ponder it. Because for a lot of reason, doubts are cast into our hearts about that good news. People wonder in those mysteries and at that threshold of mystery, can God really love me that much? Am I worthy of such love? And the answer is absolutely. Absolutely. And what we began in our infancy, we are invited to do over and over and over again. And that's simply say yes to that love. To listen with the ear of our heart and to respond wholeheartedly. Yes, Lord, I will be your son. Just help me to be your son. Yes, Lord, I will be your daughter. Help me to be your daughter. Yes, Lord, I receive that eternal life, but help me receive it. Lord, when those doubts or those accusations come from my heart or another, help me to cast them out because you have cast them out. Believe it and live it is the invitation of this week. Believe it and live it. Another public figure experiencing a loss this week, Coach Jerry Kill, head football coach for the University of Minnesota football team. And shortly after the death of Flip Saunders, we heard suddenly of his resignation because of health issues. In the press conference where he was announcing his immediate resignation, a number of things were said and interspersed with questions and answers. Jerry was sharing his faith. Jerry said, "When I left the field for the last time, a part of me died. A part of me. Not the whole me, but a part of me. And in my uncertainty," he said, "God is telling me that it's time." And then, in only a way that this great football coach talks and shares life, a profound, wise statement came out real fast. Count on your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. Those were his words. They come out of a vision of faith, a way of living and believing eternally. We have men like him. We have women too. Here today and those in that divine kingdom who give us other examples of living eternally. We honor the saints of old, those men and women, and there are too many to name today. But whenever God's people doubt, the Lord seems to raise up great men and women who say, "This is faithful living." Pope Francis is the latest one for me, but there's a whole host of others. He's still alive. But there are those living saints too. Ordinary people like you doing extraordinary things, loving God and letting that love be the lens through which you love others. St. Augustine said it best. A guy who looked for safety and security in all kinds of places. And in his reflecting on a wild life lived, he said, "You know, I've had a restless heart. And I found that my heart is restless until it rests in the Lord. And that's my faithful living. No need to limit myself to the safety and security of this world," he will say. "My heart, when I rest in the Lord, is peaceful. When I'm not there, I'm restless. No longer necessary to distract myself from those questions that come when we're on the threshold of mystery." And there are some who choose to do that, live distractedly. Some just call it living too busy. Augustine will say, "I don't need to live there when my heart is resting in God." Finally, no need to medicate myself from the discomfort of my own vulnerabilities, from the lack of control I have over life's uncertainties. And some choose to medicate themselves from that. Augustine will say, "When I'm resting in the heart of the Lord, I don't need that. And I've walked away from it." Bartimaeus shed his coat, walked in faith. Men and women are walking in faith, especially in the face of those times on the threshold of mystery when that which we rely on can provide that ultimate safety and security. "Even though I walk in the valley of darkness, I fear no evil, because you are with me, Lord. Your rod and your staff protect me and guide me safely."